All right. Good morning, y'all. So we are continuing our series on status, on relationships. This is our 11th part of the series, and today we're talking about something a little different. We're talking about singleness. So this whole time we've been talking about what it looks like to be in relationship, and today we're talking about what it looks like to be out of relationship. And I'm sure just by saying that we're talking about singleness, I've already lost about half of you. Some of you might be thinking, oh, that doesn't apply to me, I'm dating someone. Or some of you might be thinking, this is just such a painful topic because there's painful memories that I don't even want to listen to this type of stuff. I'd encourage you, whatever situation that you're in, that even if it does not apply to you, that you don't just tune out. Because it might apply in the future, you never know. Dave pointed out to me before this, even if you're married, it might still apply. Chances are, one of you is going to die first. That was Dave, so. But seriously, if that does happen, hey y'all, if that does happen, you have to know how to deal with this, because chances are it might. So, in any case, I encourage y'all, don't just tune out because it doesn't currently apply to you. So I do want to ask a question. How many of y'all feel that you're culturally expected to be in a relationship? You can raise your hands if you think so. Really? So y'all don't think you're culturally expected to be in a relationship? Okay, that is surprising. So, I was not expecting that. Anyway, okay, if y'all don't think that now, once you get into college, do you feel like you're culturally expected to be in a relationship? Okay, a little bit more. So, wow. Okay, so the majority of people, I would think, have this expectation that they're supposed to be in some sort of relationship, and that we've also somehow gotten into our heads that if you're not, you're somehow inferior to the people that are in a relationship. That's to say that if we're single, we've somehow failed as a person. We've somehow gotten this into our heads that we've failed somehow. And the fact that you are or are not in a relationship doesn't change the value of who you are as a person. So let me start off by saying that your value as a person does not come from that you, from the fact that you are or are not in a relationship. You have intrinsic worth and value because you were created in the image of God. And the creator of the universe wants to know you personally. And you have intrinsic value of that. And no relationship status is going to change that. So some of you might be saying, like, well, Caleb, that's great. You're married and you have a kid. So what do you know about this? Well, I was single until I was 20 or almost 21. So I know a little bit about it. I remember those days, and I was single by choice, so that's probably a little less common of a situation, but I decided I didn't want to date in high school. I knew I wasn't mentally prepared for it, but we'll get to that here in a little bit. but anyway, single for 20 years, so yes, I know what it's like, and I know what it's like to see friends starting relationships and feeling that pressure to be in a relationship. I know what it's like to go to the family reunions and have them say, oh, are you dating anyone? Well, why not? As if there was something wrong. I say all this to say I know what it's like. It wasn't that long ago. So I get it. I do. And if I had a chance to do it all over again, I would still choose to be single those years of my life. I simply was not ready to be in a relationship, whether that was spiritually or emotionally. And I genuinely think that if Kara and I had started dating in high school, we probably wouldn't still be together. Because I don't think I was emotionally or spiritually ready for that type of relationship. And I probably would have royally messed it up. So, Ben Stewart says, we have to get a relationship with God right before we will ever get a relationship with a guy or a girl right. So that's where I bring up that I wasn't spiritually ready for a relationship. Because we have to know and understand how God loves us in order for us to appropriately love others. So, a warning about comparison. As with anything in life, there is a danger about comparing our current relationship status with others. If you're single, you might be tempted to look at your friend who is dating and wish that you could have someone in your life like that. If you are dating someone, you might look at your friend who is engaged or married and wish that you could have that. If you're married, you might look at your friends who have kids and wish that you could have that. Ultimately, this follows you through every stage of life, and you miss out what's happening on here and now because you're so focused on this theoretical and hypothetical future that you wish you had. So be careful with comparison, because it can rob us of the joy we have now, and we can miss out on what's going on. So, as we get started, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So if y'all want to turn there, we're going to start by reading 1 Corinthians 7:7. I wish that all people were as I am, but each has his own gift from God. One person has this gift, another has that. So when we're just reading this verse, it's not extremely clear what Paul's talking about here, but if we look in the context, he's talking about that he's saying he wishes all people were like him, being single. And he says that it is a gift from God. Interesting. So Paul's view on singleness definitely counteracts our societal views. According to Paul, he wishes that we were all single like him because, it's a gift. And I get it. For those of you who are single and don't want to be single, it doesn't feel like a gift, at least not one that you want. So I have a picture of my parents' cat, Schnoz, that I grew up with. He likes to bring us gifts that are dead, like mice and rabbits and whatever else he can find in the field. We don't want the gifts, but he still brings them to us anyway. And sometimes it feels like singleness can feel like that. We get this thing thrown upon us that we don't really want, and now you're like, what do we do with this? So it's a gift that many of us don't want, and we wish that we could get through it as quickly as possible. So because a lot of us have this incorrect view of singleness, it leads us to conclude that we just have to muddle through it and get through it as quick as we can to get to the next stage of our life. But as with any other gift from God, this is meant for our benefit, not to hurt us and not to make us miserable. Verse 35 says, I am saying this for your own benefit, not to put a restraint on you, but to promote what is proper and so that you may be devoted to the Lord without distraction. Singleness is not meant to make you miserable. It's meant to give you a time where you can devote yourself to God and pursue him with all you have. Ben Stewart says, singleness, dating, and marriage, while important, are not the main storyline of your life. It's your relationship with God. So this kind of got me thinking. All the other times that Paul talks about gifts from God, such as spiritual gifts, he's talking and describing about the purpose of those and how they build up the church, how you can serve one another with them, and how you can glorify God with those gifts. So I don't see why this gift of singleness would be any different. Just as with any other gift, we can use the gift of singleness to build others up, to serve them in the church, and to glorify God. And we'll get into a little bit more of how we can do that. But before I jump into these points that Ben Stewart has made in his book that we're going through, please understand that when I'm pointing these out, I am not saying that the opposite of these things are necessarily bad or sinful, or that we should avoid them, but to point out that singleness has certain benefits that you might not have thought about to begin with. So, the first point that Ben Stewart makes is singleness provides freedom from distractions. This isn't to say that there will not be things in life that distract us from God, because there always will be those things that distract us, no matter where we are in life. However, when you're in a relationship, your entire being starts to revolve around that person. You plan your day so you can be with them. You ask them how their day's going. You figure out what they're going to be doing so you can go do something with them later. And when you're apart, you want to be with them. So, tell me, for those of you who came with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, when I'm up here talking, do they distract you? Yeah? Are you distracted by sitting next to them? Maybe. So, you're probably not able to fully focus sitting next to them. You're thinking, oh, did he notice my new dress? Or he's thinking, did she notice my shoes? Or maybe he's like, I did notice her dress, but I didn't say anything, and now it's awkward. So now should I say anything? No, you're distracted. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. And I'm not saying it's sinful. But when we're in a relationship, there is a level of distraction from the pursuit of God. And what I'm pointing out is that if you find yourself in the midst of singleness, take this time to pursue God without the distraction of a relationship. Your attention is no longer divided between God and this person that you're pursuing, so you can fully pursue God with all that you are. Ben Stewart says, "Thus God in his mercy has given us a gift called singleness. Why? Because he wants our attention. He wants to secure an undistracted devotion to the Lord." And Colossians 1:16 says, "For everything was created by him in heaven and on the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." We were created by him and for him. He wants to know us. So if you're in this stage of life where you are not distracted by relationships, pursue him with all that you have. Take this time to grow your relationship. And guess what? The closer you get to God, the easier relationships are going to be, because you're going to learn how to love like he loves. He's going to transform your heart and your life, and it's going to be easier to learn like he loves, to love like he loves. Don't get me wrong, there will still be challenges in relationships. But you definitely want to get closer to God. So, second point is we have liberty from anxiety. Now again, I'm not saying that if you're single, you will not be worried or anxious about anything. That's far from the case. But again, a relationship comes with their own worries and anxieties. And Stewart is making the point that, again, during this time of singleness, we can use those lack of worries and anxieties from the relationships to focus more solely on God. So verse 32 says, "I want you to be without concerns. The unmarried man is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord, but the married man is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife." So, for those of you who are dating, ladies, are any of y'all expecting the perfect Christmas gift? Anyone? Wow, y'all are really destroying my points today. I'm assuming someone out here is expecting the perfect Christmas gift. So now, guys, you're stuck with this task of you must find the perfect gift that shows that you are both, that you are thoughtful, creative, you're willing to spend money on her, and you may or may not get a hint as to what it is. So now, you have to figure out what this thing is and show her that you truly care about her, right? If that's the case and you weren't nervous about it, you should be. So, you have all this pressure that starts to build up as part of this relationship to show how much you care for this person. And it just starts to build and build as you get further into your relationship. Once you get married, there's bills, arguments, family plans. You have to plan for the holidays, how you're going to go to Christmas for four different locations all at once. There's these pressures and anxieties. Oh, and then you add a kid into it. And you have to figure out how to keep this tiny little thing alive that keeps trying to dive off a countertop while you're changing them. There's worries and anxieties that come along with a relationship. And I'm not saying any of that is bad. I wouldn't trade it for anything right now. But it can get stressful and full of anxieties. What I am saying, though, is that if you are in the season of singleness, pursue God with all that you have. Because sometimes later on in life, once the stresses and anxieties get to us, we don't have much left to pursue God with. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Pursue God with all that you have, whatever it is. So next, the gift of freedom. When you're single, young and single at least, you have more freedom and time than almost any other stage of life. Think about it. You have this unique combination of freedom, where you're able to go do things, and free time. Now, some of you might have filled up your free time with things, and that's okay. But the elderly, they have time, but they don't necessarily have freedom to go. They might be disabled and can't easily get around. Versus little kids have time, but they don't have freedom. They can only go where mom goes, right? And so as a single young person, you have both of these, especially once you get into your college years, which are coming sooner than most of y'all think. So especially once you're in college, if you suddenly wanted to go on a month-long mission trip during the summer, you could do that. You could pack up and go. If you wanted to volunteer all summer long at a church camp, you could do that. Whereas if you're in a relationship, your time and freedom becomes more and more limited because you want to check with that person that you're in a relationship with, you want to be with them, you want to spend time with them. So, for example, when I was in college and interning here with my previous group of students, if a student texted me and said, hey, do you want to go do this? We're watching a movie. Do you want to come meet us? I'd be like, yeah, I'll go watch a movie. And I could drop anything and go do that. Now that I'm married, that's a little bit harder to do. And something like going on a month-long mission trip in this stage of life for me, that's not feasible whatsoever. I can't take off of work that long. I can't leave Kara and Carson that long. It's just not feasible. So when you're young and single, you have all this free time, freedom that you can use. And I kind of wonder, like, what are you going to use it for? Oh, by the way, once you have kids, there's no such thing as a spur-of-the-moment plan. Someone can text you and be like, hey, can you meet us? And you can be like, yeah, I can leave in 2 hours because I got to pack the diaper bag. I got to get the kid in clothes. He's going to throw up on the clothes. Then I got to change him. Then I got to repack the diaper bag, get the stroller, get the diaper bag, everything in the car. He's buckled up, and now I can leave, and we're late. So there's no such thing as spur-of-the-moment plans. So what are you going to do with your time and freedom? Are you just going to fill it with distractions to get through this time of life just to get to the next stage? Or are you going to use this time and freedom to make a kingdom difference? The average person by the time they're 21 has spent 10,000 hours playing video games. That's just over a year, just shy of a year and a half of playing video games by the time you're 21. So are you going to fill it with distractions, or are you going to make a difference in the kingdom? Just imagine if we took a quarter of that time for all the Christians that are spending that time playing video games, and we pursued God, and we pursued the kingdom, and we went out and made a difference with that time. I'm not saying to give up video games completely, but just imagine if we took that time and made an intentional kingdom difference with that. 1 Corinthians 7:32 through 33 describes that the unmarried man and woman are concerned about the things of God. So I just have one simple question. Does that define you? Are you concerned about the things of God, or are you preoccupied by the things of this world? And Ben Stewart says that if this does not define your singleness, then you are doing singleness wrong. So the point of singleness is so that you can have the freedom and lack of distractions to pursue God with your whole being. Ultimately, for many people y'all's age, they find themselves frustrated with life and unfulfilled because instead of using this freedom to pursue their Creator, they pursue the things of the world. Then, as a way of filling in that massive void that is left without God, we tend to pursue relationships. Which, let me tell you, if you are expecting someone else to complete you and make you whole, it is not going to work out for you, my friend. That person cannot give you worth. They cannot make you whole. They cannot fulfill your life. And they're ultimately going to let you down because that type of fulfillment is only found in God. Sam Alberry says, if marriage shows us the shape of the gospel, singleness shows us its sufficiency. So in singleness, we can easily see how dependent we are on God because he's all we have. We don't have this person to lean on over here. And we should be dependent on God. So singleness does not mean isolation or loneliness. Just because you're single doesn't mean you have to be alone. Doesn't mean you have to be isolated. And many people today dread it because they think that they're just going to be lonely and stuck there forever. And unfortunately, I think social media has a bit of a role to play in this. One, you see all these romantic ideas constantly thrown at you. Two, we have all these surface-level relationships with people that, yeah, sure, we have a ton of friends on these platforms, but does anyone really get to know us? Do we really get to know anyone? So we're craving these deep relationships, but then all we're left with is these surface-level things. And I think this is where authentic biblical community can come into play, really whether you're single or in a relationship. But in addition to pursuing God, we can pursue these deep, authentic biblical friendships. And I'm not just talking about getting together and doing a Bible study and answering the basic questions. I'm talking about being open and vulnerable with someone so that they know you, they know how to encourage you, they know what you're struggling with, they know how to pray for you. And I'm not just encouraging you to seek this for your own life, that way you can be in community, but go be that for someone else. Be the person that purposely seeks someone out. If you see someone sitting by themselves, go sit down next to them. Talk to them. Ask them how their day was, how you can pray for them. Oh, and when they tell you something to pray for, actually pray for them. So, lastly, we see this idea that there is this choice of singleness. So, for some people, singleness is a decision that they've made to stay single for their life and intentionally pursue God and the work of his kingdom. Now, I don't know very many people that have made this choice, but it's technically an option. And I'm definitely not saying that everyone needs to stay single all of their lives. I know one lady in particular that has chosen this. She worked at UMHB and was just an amazing person. She was so intentional about her life. She shared probably most of her day with these college students. And if you met her, she instantly brought up a gospel conversation. She wanted to know how you were. She wanted to know how she could pray for you. She was using her time, energy, and freedom to purposely and intentionally make a difference in the kingdom. And again, she was never married, but she made a gospel impact. And if you asked her today if she lived a lesser life, she would say absolutely not. She would say that she got to use all of her free time to point people to Jesus. And she would be thrilled to get to have that conversation with you. So, as we're wrapping up, whatever stage of life you find yourself in currently or may find yourself in the future, I'd encourage you to be intentional about pursuing God. To make sure you get plugged into community in whatever stage of life that you're in. That if you do find yourself having free time, you do find yourself having a lack of anxiety from relationships, use this time to pursue God with all that you have and all that you are. Grow closer and closer to him. So, as we go into discussion, I hope y'all have some fun with some of these questions. Like, is it better to be single? Isn't that what Paul's saying? Or are we supposed to be married? Anyway, I hope y'all have some fun with those. I'm going to pray, and then y'all can head to y'all's discussion groups. Dear God, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for the opportunity to be here. And I pray that whatever point of a relationship we find our in, that we will pursue you with all that we have and all that we are, and that you would just be Lord of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.